love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Luro.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Yes, Mr. Sherman, everything stinks.
And Marvel 2K.
Eat my shorts, Shelbyville.
Eat my shorts!
Yes, eat all of our shirts.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 130, where we talk all things comics for the week of February 3rd, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Marvel2K and Luro. Luro, how you doing tonight?
Awesome.
And Marvel2K.
Great.
All right, let's go into our first segment. As always, news. Okay, we got our first and only news story for tonight. Black Knight is going to be canceled. Who saw that coming, right, guys?
Hey, the reason we brought this up.
Yes.
Is because Frank Thierry, he went on Twitter, and he gave the deal about, hey, it didn't sell.
Who saw that coming?
That's why it's getting canceled. Now, the interesting thing to note is we collected a list of books that sell worse than it from Marvel.
Yes, I have them in front of me right now.
Or comparable.
Yes.
Yeah, but most of them are less.
Yeah.
So, and Fat Man, you took down that list.
Yes. The books include Illuminati, Devil Dinosaur, Howling Commanders of S.H.I.E.L.D., Drax, and Angela.
Okay, now here's the thing to know about comic sales. Different comics are allowed to have different levels of sales. If you are a critically acclaimed comic, you can sell low because the opinion is a critically acclaimed comic will sell well in trade. And there is a reason for keeping it around. Now, of all the books Fat Man named, the only one that I can see any justification for keeping around is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Now, this is a false reason for keeping it alive because their reasoning would be, well, it's a book that kids can read and it's got a young girl as the lead. And we don't have any other books that have a really young girl as a lead, so it'll bring in this audience of it, which is complete bullshit. Young girls are not reading comic books. I'm sorry they're not. If you don't believe me, look at the sales.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's something that I think they like having in their lexicon of books. And they can say, they can point to it and be like, hey, that's one of our kids' books that we have. Doesn't sell well, but you know what? We're willing to subsidize it because it's nice to have in our arsenal.
And no one knows how many comics a Marvel comic needs to sell before it starts selling at a loss.
I was about to say, I thought we had kind of an indicator of the number was 22,000 maybe, or am I just imagining that?
That's always been around the number that titles get canceled at, but there have been books that consistently sold at that or below that continued to be published if they had a reason to keep publishing it. You know, it's like if you – and these books don't sell good. Some of them are sub 20,000. Most of them are 22,000 or less. If you look at sales, like Valiant books, they all sell less than this. But they don't have to sell as many to be profitable. Vertigo books all sell less than this. But, again, with DC, they expect Vertigo books to sell in trade. That's the audience.
And they're quite good. Like, God bless most of these books. But most of them aren't, like, especially in instances like Drax, where the book's not particularly good. It's like, I'm sure they like their relationship with Pump, but with that said, I don't think they're gonna,
he's not bringing sales to the book. And the book, it's not like people are saying it's great, so what's the point in keeping it around? Same thing with Angela, I guess. I mean, it's a character you only recently got, but who cares? And I'd said anyway, she's like the ruler of hell now, and hell is coming back, so that would kind of make her redundant. I imagine they just use that to kind of quietly cancel the book. Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D., we read the first issue and said it was going to get canceled.
It was great. It wasn't critically acclaimed, though, but like we said,
it was fun.
They're not going to keep it around just because the book, the premise and everything that goes along with it, the stories, the lighthearted nature of it, the fact that it's a bunch of jobbers, we knew already from the get-go it wasn't going to get picked up or wasn't going to continue.
And none of these are going to sell in trade. I can't see any of them selling.
No, because there's no reason, because to sell in trade, usually the thing that causes something to sell in trade is it got a lot of hype.
Remember Superior Foes got like what, 15, 18 issues?
Yeah.
By the end it was only selling like 12 to 15,000.
Yeah, but they got enough issues to do.
Yeah, the trades.
What, 3 trades out of it? Yeah. They let them finish the story, but you know, because people talked about that and they liked it, so there was a chance when it ended somebody would read it. These books, nobody's gonna read these. Like, no one's gonna go, oh man, I really wanna read Black Knight.
Or Illuminati.
Well, Marvel likes them. Yeah, or Illuminati, which I mean, I like Illuminati, but it's, you know, villain books don't do great in general. And especially jobber villain books don't do great.
Yeah, like Superior Foes.
But when Marvel did their big relaunch and we're reading off the titles of the books, we said some of these books just aren't going to make it. They don't intend them all to. Marvel doesn't intend every book they sell.
Yeah, but for so many books, and how many of these, and look at the creative in all these books. Some of them I've never even heard of.
Doesn't Marguerite Bennett do Angela?
Okay, that's the exception then, but I'm just saying, look at the creative team on most of these books. Some of them I never even heard of. And that was our criticism of going forward when they did this all new, all different Marvel, that they were having too many titles, too many books from people who we'd never heard of, and it's like, are they trying to replicate what DC was doing in the sense that they're just throwing everything against the wall and seeing what sticks?
Yes, yes, and I actually like that tactic because it gives you a lot more variety. I mean, I can say for all these low-selling books, it's not like any of them are similar to each other. They're all completely dissimilar books.
Yeah.
And they're different from a lot of things. I like that. They should keep doing that. And if you only publish 6 issues of a comic and it doesn't sell, you're not really losing that much money if you're Marvel. So it's good that they're trying it. But like you said, not everything's going to stick. Not everything's going to be good. You don't have enough talent to make everything good. But sometimes you give people a chance and you never know.
Okay. I just think they should strive to get, you know, better talent. But that's just me.
There's only so much talent, dude.
There's so many guys that they're not using, though.
The talent pool is only so big.
And well, if they picked up Jeff Lemire, like, I mean, there's plenty of guys that they could pick up from Valiant still, and stuff that people, they're not doing their full potential on these.
they have some of them.
Yeah, they got Jill Lemire.
But that's it. They haven't picked up Matt Kent.
Has Kent not written anything for Marvel?
I don't think so.
I'm almost certain he has.
I don't know if Vendetti has.
Check Matt Kidd. I'm almost certain Matt Kidd has at least done something.
I feel like he's written something for Marvel. Valiant doesn't appear to have guys under contract. I mean, if you flip it around, you're like, well, why don't they get some of the better DC guys? Well, those guys are under contract to DC.
Never mind. Yeah, he has never written for Marvel. He's written for DC. He's on DC, Vertigo, Dark Horse, and Top Shelf.
Well, maybe they haven't found him yet. Hmm. Or maybe he is under contract. I just don't think any of the Valiant guys are under contract.
Okay, but that's just my two cents. And yeah, sometimes you gotta, you know, give guys a shot out of the blue because you never know, they might hit it, you know, big quicks. But
hey, who was Tom King 5 years ago?
Well, that may go away when we do our Vision review. All right,
you didn't like Vision?
We'll talk about when we get into the book.
Oh my god,
we talked about this on the board, but we'll go into it later. All right, let's move into our next segment, the lightning round. Okay, for this week's lightning round, we have Captain Marvel, War Stories, Guardians of Infinity, Walking Dead, and Obi-Wan and Anakin. As always, lightning round titles are books that we decided not to do a full review, either for one reason or another, if only one of us read, or we just didn't feel like doing a full review. And this week, I think this week's instance, stuff that two of us read, but we just felt like not a lot happened, so we're just going to do a very quick review of all these titles. Starting with Captain Marvel.
They're Carol and Alpha Flight. They board that ghost ship that approached, and it's basically like Aliens, the movie. And some weird symbols and languages on board. They have a Kree symbol, so there's something involving the Kree. They encountered some weird dead aliens. They fought off what looked like scorpions.
None of this mattered.
No, none of it mattered.
The thing is, the whole point of the issue was to get to Abigail Brand was on Alpha Flight running things while Captain Marvel was away. And they you know, they talk to the aliens who were doing the waste removal that Marvel threw into jail. And they kept saying, we didn't do this, we didn't do this, we didn't do this. They gave a reasoning of why, like, the type of ship it is. Like, their ship is short range, so it couldn't have gotten out there or whatever. So it's somebody on the inside, and they determined it was their science officer.
Yeah, but it wasn't her.
Well, they don't think it was her.
Yeah. But yeah, they took some samples off that ghost ship, and it looks like there's some weird shit that's going to happen because of that.
And they're continuing to build a feud between Brand and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and yep. In fact, that's how this issue ends, with her telling Marvel to stand down. So
yeah, I mean, that's what the entire issue was based around. The alien ship, it was, you know, an excuse to get a little bit of comedy and some action into the book.
Well, a lot of action. That's predominantly why we bumped up the lightning round. This was an action-heavy book.
Yeah, it was, with the plot all sandwiched in at the end. Well, I'll talk about that in another book. There was one thing that pissed me off, but I can't talk about it here.
Okay. Not in this review. You're talking about another book?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, War Stories. Now, I didn't read the last issue, so a lot of this felt like I was putting pieces together as I was reading it. But with that said, I can understand why we wanted to put this up the lightning round. What's that?
This was the first issue of the new storyline.
Oh, it is. Okay. Because there was a lot of action in this issue, so that's another reason why we decided to bump it up. It was just a lot of, you know,
it's about the English Navy defending the English shore against the German boats during World War II. And there was a little more comedy in this one than this series has had.
I like the way the issue ends. Oh, that's great.
This is a good part of the book. I mean, the fighting stuff was kind of cool. They met with an intelligence officer who'd, you know, been in the English military for years and years and years. That was all fine. It was interesting. The discussion of the boats was interesting, but the key part was they go to a bar and they're trying to impress all the girls with their secret military knowledge. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like, oh, I call the blonde. But, no, Jack, to your room.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
Jack not being a blonde.
So, I'm sorry, that distracted me.
It's okay,
so,
that's fine.
They go and they sit down, they're drinking, they're talking to these girls, and then one of the girls asks the guy, like, hey, what church do you go to?
And he's like, already getting ready to shut them down.
So the other guy takes the other girl at the table, he goes to take her home, and this guy's stuck in the bar fucking talking to this super religious girl.
She's like, what's your favorite Psalms?
Yeah, that was great, poor guy.
But am I the one with the suspicion of the redhead?
Huh?
Like, when they were talking about all the stuff that they'd seen, all the stuff they'd been through, like, she seemed like she had some kind of experience, and didn't they sort of talk a little about it? I'm of the opinion that there's something up with that, the redhead.
I don't know, because this book focuses on the war and the characters. Mm. You think she's like a German secret agent?
Something like that, or she's had bad experience with soldiers before, and she doesn't want none
of
this.
Or maybe her dad was in the military and something bad happened to him.
Yeah, because something was up with her. Because whenever they brought up stuff that they did in the Navy, she got, you know, disturbed.
I read that as like, she's like, okay, I've heard all this shit before. I'm not impressed. Because, you know, they were trying to play it off, and she just didn't think so. I think that's all it was.
Okay.
But that's all that happened in this issue, so.
Okay.
Oh, wait, there was one more thing.
Go ahead.
There's a secret German boat captain named, I think it was Hans the Pirate.
Yes.
He flies a skull and crossbones on his ship, and everybody thinks the guy who keeps talking about him is the complete dipshit, and it's not real. But he swears it's real, and he's going to fucking kill this guy if it's the last thing he does.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, Hans the Pirate.
Wacky. So this is the start of their next
about
story?
About next book now? Come on.
Yes, this is the start of the next three-issue arc.
Okay, Marvel's eager to talk Guardians of Infinity.
Yeah, it's the same fighting that they've been doing for the last three issues, and in the backup is written by Run DMC. And it's
no, DMC. Just DMC. Run just is a different DMC. Guy.
Oh, okay, so it's just
two
DMC.
Guys, yes.
It's Thing and Groot having adventures in New York on Yancey Street. They're fighting Plant Man, which I haven't seen him in ages.
And Thing turned into a black guy from the 1980s.
Dropping terms like ill.
Yeah, it was really awkward. Like, I get how it could happen because of who wrote it, but that is not what Thing talks like, dude. He's a Jewish kid, not a street black.
Although,
dude.
Then again, wouldn't you expect a Jewish kid to be using terminology from the 80s, thinking it's cool?
In 2016?
Yeah, he's a Jew. He's behind the times.
He's like 40. He's not trying to fit in. He was talking to somebody else.
But he's doing it thinking he's cool.
I want them to move more to the storylines where there's wacky shit going on. Whereas this storyline is we're fighting robot people. And what they need to do is they need to form whatever the fuck the team is going to be.
No, good luck with that. I think we're
going
to get
and then
more
start
issues
going
this.
On adventures, because right now we've got a cast of like 50.
And we ain't getting that. But with that said, I think we're going to have a couple of people from the mainline Guardians team, as well as maybe some kind of mix up with the original.
Which is fine, but get to it. Because they're not even, we're reading a couple books where they're doing team building. This isn't team building. This is like a big two teams together thing, and they're not making any movements towards merging them.
Yeah, but the problem with this book is half of this book is devoted to the backup. So when you do that and you have a bunch of fighting, it's hard to have the story progress.
And that's fine when the backup's good, but like I didn't think the backup was good this month. So
okay, but before we move on, let me ask this quick question: are we going to continue reading this book?
I don't even feel like reading it anymore, to be honest.
I'm right there with Marvel.
I'll keep reading it. I'll lightning around it.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's move on to our next book, Walking Dead.
Yeah, so Walking Dead. Remember in the last issue, they're talking about building an army to combat the Whisperers. So they've recruited a lot of new people. They've started training them. I think Rick is thinking about letting go of Negan from that prison. I got that impression.
He got that, but I didn't get that.
Remember when he was talking to the black dude to try to kill him? He's like, oh, thank you for not, you know, killing
him. Yeah, he went on about, you know, we gotta help.
Yeah,
we gotta help out, we're different. But Negan was such a horrible
human being. But he also said he's like, you know, doing one bad thing doesn't make you, you know, bad forever.
Negan didn't do one bad thing. He did lots of bad things.
But you could tell he thought about it, cause he got quiet. He's like, are you right, Rick? Oh no, I'm just thinking about something. And then he goes to see him.
Like, yeah, but it's, I read it as he goes down to see Negan. Negan still comes off like a giant prick, and he's like, alright, I've already changed my mind.
He wasn't really even a prick, really, to him. He just says, oh.
He's so disingenuous.
He's just like, oh.
Oh, hey, Rick, how's it going? Hey, fuck you, you evil prick.
And then, what's her name? Michonne is going to be the leader of the kingdom now.
Yeah, because there's a problem with them because they don't have a leader. Michonne, since Ezekiel died, Michonne said she was already considering it. She just needed a nudge towards it, so she accepted very quickly. The reason Rick is stepping back from – he put Dwight in charge of – training the army because Dwight apparently has military experience. He said, listen, I can't even shoot anymore because I got one fucking hand. So I can't shoot with a rifle, which is what they were using. He's like, and also I have no military experience. I've tapped out all my police experience. And you know, that doesn't teach you how to fight like this anyway. So he kind of put him in charge of that. And that was it.
Oh, the last thing was Eugene. Apparently, he's been getting on that little radio transmitter of his to find people.
Eugene, the fucking smartest guy in the comic, is a complete idiot. Maybe if I could contact somebody else through the radio, they'll be good people too. Fuck him. That's so dumb. Everybody is evil in Walking Dead. You don't know that yet? If we have another fucking group of people show up, and they act nice, and then it turns out they're pricks, and they start killing everyone and stealing their shit, I'm dropping this book. I'm saying that right now. If that's what happens, I'm dropping this book. Because I can't deal with stupidity anymore in this book.
All right, that's it.
All right, let's move on to our last and final lightning round title, Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Amazing art.
Yeah, art is good.
Yeah,
they're in the middle of an intense battle between some people called the Open and the Closed.
great name.
I know.
They have no idea what freaking Jedis are, because remember, somebody sent out a distress signal. This was a planet that, I guess, experienced like nuclear war or something.
They didn't have the ability to communicate with other planets, they said.
But somebody sent a distress signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but so they got to figure out how to work together to get off wherever the hell they're at, because they knocked down some blimp. They show some flashbacks of young Anakin getting paid a visit by Chancellor Palpatine.
Well, this actually made sense story-wise, because there were these flying monster things coming at him. And Obi-Wan tells Anakin, like, hey, okay, just don't kill them because they're, you know, living beings. Use the Force to, like, nudge them away. And we see Anakin just murders all of them. And nice. Then they cut back to him meeting with Chancellor Palpatine, who took him to the depths of Coruscant. We don't know what he showed him, really.
But they look like they went to a freaking CD bar strip, yeah. Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, that was
book?
Yeah,
that was pretty much it.
Yeah, there's a reason why that we bumped up the lightning round. Very little happened, so.
Yeah.
Like most of these Star Wars books. All right, with that all the way, let's go into this week's books. I don't know if we need that explained, but just in case, for a reason why you do, that was Kid Icarus, everybody.
Yeah, the first level.
Yep. Yes. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include Code Brew 2, Providence 7, Sheriff of Babylon 3, Swamp Thing 2, A-Force 2, Amazing Spider-Man 7, Captain America Sam Wilson 6, Doctor Strange 5, Howard the Duck 4, Invincible Iron Man 6, Scarlet Witch 3, Spider-Man 1, Uncanny Avengers 3, Vision 4, Exo Manowar 44, and Mirror 1. Thank you, Marvel. That says it all. All right, let's go into our first book, Code Pru, written by Garth Ennis, art by Rollo Caceres.
Oh, I love this book.
I know. This is an easy contender for Book of the Week, if you ask me.
I disagree. It was too funny. It didn't have enough going on. And also the ending of it pissed me off because, well, we already knew this was leading into, it has segments in an anthology. But I would still rather this be a continuing series.
As would I, but Avatar, I don't think has a
series.
I don't know if Avatar has the money to support a Garth Ennis without having to crank out something like this anthology.
Yeah.
Well,
this is starting to be a trend in comic books. Remember we talked about way back when about that anthology from Vaughn that he sold through Image?
No, dude, what they're doing is they're using this and Garth Ennis's name as a launching point for an anthology that they wanted to publish.
Mm-hmm.
Garth Ennis is the draw for whatever this book is. You buy it to read the Garth Ennis story, and then maybe you'll like some of these other stories that are in it.
The Prue and her friend, they encounter Flasher in the beginning, so kicks him in the balls.
Kicks him right in the urethra.
Got the heel of her shoe.
Ooh.
Yes.
Into his pee hole.
Yes.
Ouch.
So they go back to back to their place, you know, her and her roommates. They do the whole witch stick again.
Prue acts like she's possessed.
Yeah, she acts all possessed, and it pisses off that one girl.
Well, because she sings.
Call
Me Maybe.
Yeah, Call Me Maybe.
She acts like she's possessed, and then she leads into that song. Yeah.
Yeah, she goes after her with a knife. So she goes to slash her, but she misses Prue. And ends up accidentally slashing the throat of that girl, the one with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Prue is a
paramedic or some shit.
Paramedic. She's in school to be, or a doctor.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the guy in the front, the guy who has the demon monster,
yes,
in the basement.
The Cthulhu monster.
He actually has multiple monsters in the basement. He's revealing that he's in love with Prue, and that's why he's hired her.
Yeah.
And he's concerned that when he hires her to work here and she finds out what she's doing, which is apparently dealing with the monsters in the basement, how's she going to react?
The job is for like, the fire department or something, right? So I'm guessing she's paramedic.
Yeah, she must be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The best part about this is they kept stressing that this has to do with, you know, mythology and gods. And on the application, Prue specifically mentioned atheist. And they're like, that's weird that she put that on there, because usually when people are atheist, they'll just put other. But she specifically went out of her way to fill in the blank line.
But not other. It just says
none of the above or...
No preference or something.
Yeah. But she actually wrote in atheist.
And even the Cthulhu monster is like, what is she going to say when she sees us monsters? It's like, isn't it going to blow her mind?
And he pointed out, technically, they're more like aliens. So it's not even really related. Like, in fact, the other monster they showed, it was just clearly the queen alien from Alien. It was freaking laying eggs. It looked like an alien, kind of. Like, they changed it enough to not get sued.
Yeah.
But that's what it was.
So, the girl's, the roommate, apparently her dad is, rich. So they paid off the girl so she wouldn't press charges.
She's like, I wasn't gonna press charges, but I guess her parents are, eager to give away money whenever there's a incident of someone potentially suing them.
She slashed her throat.
Yeah, she did slash her throat. But
she was like, the girl was cool about it. She's like, I wasn't gonna press charges or nothing.
Rich now.
Yeah, she's rich now. And it wasn't about pressing, it's not about suing, it's about calling it assault. And
they probably paid off judges and stuff too.
Yeah, well, maybe. But either way, she's a rich girl, and then they mentioned how they're all gonna be separate because the other two are gonna graduate, and the other one is has a full-time job now.
Yeah. And then read more of Prue's adventures in whatever anthology. Oh,
you guys missed out the best part of this book, where the Cthulhu monster got the supposed remote.
Oh, yeah. He pulls – okay, so the guy has, like, a remote that brings guns out to shoot this thing if it does anything bad. And he's talking to him, and he's sneaking his tentacle around, one of his tentacles, to grab the remote out of his pocket. So he grabs it, and he's choking the guy, and he's like, yeah – who's a big badass now, fucker? He's like, I got your remote. And he's like, oh, you mean this remote? That's my cell phone, retard. And he shoots it. And he also explains this is why he isn't incredibly afraid of this thing, because, you know, he shoots it with guns and that hurts it enough for it to drop him. And he's like, well, you're not that threatening. You get hurt by guns. So, which is, you know, good reasoning, really.
I love this book. I'm going to be sad when it goes away, but I'm sure we're
going to get... Well, it's not going away. It's just going to continue in an anthology.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to be reviewing the anthology every month.
We will. We will, because I will make us.
oh, really? You have that kind of power, huh?
Yes.
Because you have that kind of stroke here.
Hey, you guys listen to me, and when I say a book, you usually read it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
We got to start taping that back.
If the code proves story in this anthology is like 4 pages a month, we will not continue reading.
Yeah, because that's what I'm afraid of. It's going to be like 4 to 6 pages.
Yeah, but what I'm hoping is there will be other good stories in it. That's the best you could hope for in an anthology.
Okay.
So, fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed indeed. All right, let's move on to our next book. Providence number 7, writer Alan Moore, art by Jason Burroughs.
I'm the only one who liked this.
I didn't say I didn't like it. Most of this book, when they were talking about stuff, I had no idea what they were talking about.
To me, it was boring.
Okay, so they're talking about... He's in Boston during what I'm sure is some sort of historical riots.
Yeah, some sort of a labor strike of some sort.
Yeah, which I have no knowledge of, but this book tries to keep up with its time period. So I'm sure this is an actual thing that happened, and I apologize for not knowing anything. But there's, you know, something going on. People are dying in the streets. All kinds of terrible stuff. This issue had a lot more humor than the other issues, sort of because of this. Because the guy he's talking to, he's a cop, and the cops were on strike too, I guess. And the he walks into a bar, and he's still all freaked out about all the weird time skipping and the sex, the rape of the young
girl,
young old man girl. He's all very disturbed by this still, and he's kind of shell-shocked. He doesn't even know how he got here because of the time messing stuff. And but the cop's like, hey, I'll take you to where you need to go. But this cop is sitting in a bar which has the wall blown out of it, and he's just drinking, watching all the chaos go on. But he takes him to the photographer who took the pictures that he saw when he was at the college. The photographer is very helpful and knows a lot about everything that's going on. And he starts giving him this speech about the people he was with, Elspeth's dad. They're not actually magic. What they want to do is they want to take the dream world. The dream world is held down by reality. And they want to make the dream world take over reality. Mm-hmm. And the reason they can do the things they do is because they have some connection to this dream world and can, like, move things around. Now, I don't know how much of this is from Lovecraft's books, but I am a big nerd. So I have read the Call of Cthulhu handbook from the RPG. I don't play role-playing games, the pen and paper ones, but I do have a habit of reading their handbooks because there is some interesting writing in some of them. And in the Cthulhu stuff, there's this big thing about this dreamscape that exists. So this is something from his writing in some way. But the painter, he is friendly with beings who come from this place.
And he's so nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I like this issue is because they did in a lot of this book, a lot of the stuff is kind of out there and a little off and it's hard to understand. This guy explained everything in a pretty clear and concise way. And he's trying to talk to him about how we could reach the dreamscape and stuff. And he's like, oh, but we got to go into the basement. And the funniest part of the book is the writer, he keeps thinking this is all metaphor. Like, oh you're going to like hallucinate me or do some kind of hypnosis. And he's like, yeah, if you want to look at it that way.
It really isn't, but yeah.
He's been blatantly telling him this is all real, pretty much. And the guy just can't accept it. Like, he even told him, he's like, well, you know, yeah, you might have raped this girl. They do stuff like this, but you didn't really do it. You were dreaming. And he's like, oh, okay, I was really worried because I thought I raped a 13-year-old girl. When the entire point of his conversation was, no, it's the dreamscape, but they can make it real. So this actually happened. What I'm explaining to you is you really did it. I was explaining why and how you did it, not saying you didn't do it.
Well, he still told him to go talk to some writer who better explain him the same thing.
Yeah, he said, even though he was very knowledgeable firsthand, he stuttered a lot. So I think
And also he's a photographer and a painter. He's not a writer.
Yeah, he's an artist. You know.
Yeah, so he thought somebody who writes would you know be able to explain it.
Well,
clearer.
Explain better, but then also because he's a writer as well, he may be able to relate better.
Yeah, but I will say he was very nice to him. He took him in the basement and he told him, okay, I'm gonna go down this tunnel.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, there's an echo there.
You were echo phone.
I'm gonna go down this tunnel and I'm gonna get somebody for you to talk to. Whatever you do, do not turn around and look.
Okay, so he specifically told him not to turn around. I just thought he was terrified or he wasn't completely sold on the idea that these things were real.
No, he told him twice, do not look. Just don't look down the hall. He walks down and then we see the guy coming back and he's holding hands with this giant monster.
Well, the thing is in his paintings, he had painted them. So he knows what they look like, but he doesn't know it's one of them.
Yeah, he's, and you know, the photographer, he's like friends with these things for some reason.
he said for the most part they hate humanity, but for a reason why they like this guy.
They like him. It's not that they hate humanity. They eat dead people.
And just dead things in general.
Yeah, they eat dead things. So he's talking to the writer because the photographer told him, you know, you can even interview this thing if you want. And his name was King George. There was also one of them named George Washington.
No, it was something else.
No, there was George Washington. One of them was named George Washington.
I don't remember seeing that one. I remember it being something else.
I promise you it was George Washington. But they have, these aren't their real names, presumably. But he sits this thing down next to him and he basically interviews it. And, you know, it's explaining all the great joy they had and all these very unfortunate events in the world because, you know, depended upon how many dead people there were, because then they could eat more. There was more rot, they said, which they like. And then the thing gets up and it starts walking towards him, and the photographer's like, what are you doing? You said you weren't going to do anything to him. And he's like, oh, don't worry. No rot, no rot. And he goes up and he gets really fucking close to the writer, like right next to him. And he's like whispering shit in his ear. And the writer's like sitting there crying because he doesn't want to turn around, but he knows this is creepy as fuck. And then, but the thing kept its word. It did not hurt him. And then it starts, you know, he walks it back down the hallway. And as the photographer's walking him back down the hallway, he says something to him in weird alien language that we've seen before. And then, you know, the writer goes off to find
the other writer. Yes.
But it was just the weird. Oh, and then the last picture.
Yes, the picture.
The last picture of the book is so the cop, when the cop walks him over to this guy's house, and, you know, Robert went up to bed. He went to go to sleep. The guy let him sleep in his house. The cop stayed down though, and he's like, oh, hey, you know, I'd like a drink or something. And we never found out what happened to the cop. We see in the end,
it's
a picture of him, and it's an actual picture.
When he's talking like this, actually people dressed up as the characters, or in this case, the monsters.
So they dressed a guy up like that, and then they dressed the monsters up, and they apparently, you know, this guy had his throat slashed. What I imagine happened was the photographer killed this guy to give his little buddy something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, you know, they only eat dead people. They are friendly with him. There has to be a reason they're friendly with him.
he mentioned that a lot of his art influence comes from the, you know, this weird magic shit. So maybe that's the trade-off. He gets, you know, more inspiration to paint shit, and he gives them dead people.
Yeah, but all of his art is horrific. Like the first painting they show, it's the monsters, and they're slashing at all these people and eating them alive.
That one was fucking hilarious too, because the writer, again, he's just not getting this, all this weird shit is a real thing. And he keeps talking to him about the art, and he sees like, oh, it's a political message. This is about the working classes rising up against the rich people who are holding them down. And he's like, yeah, sure. But he keeps giving these deeper meanings to the guy's paintings. And the guy's thinking like, no, I'm just drawing the fucking monsters killing and eating people. Cause that's, you know, that's what's going on. But whatever, if you want to think like that. But, you know, he liked him because he put over his art, and that's why he didn't kill him.
He gave him shelter because obviously he didn't know where to go. He's like, oh, you're so kind. Thank you for taking care of me, letting me live here. I got the impression that he wanted to kill him, but then, you know, when he put over his art, he's like, okay, I'll let him live.
Well, I also think maybe this guy, since he's friends with these monsters, I'm thinking maybe the monsters don't really like the guys in the cult that the writer had been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You got the sense he didn't like them. They probably don't like them either. So the fact that he didn't like them and he wanted to write about them, and this guy didn't like them because his monster friends don't like them, maybe put them on the same page, even though he didn't know it. But no, I liked this. I found it funny.
Yeah,
and
don't worry. If you guys are wondering what we're talking about, I'm going to post the picture of the monsters and the police officers.
It's so great.
It's horrifying, but at the same time, it's kind of funny in the context of the book.
Yeah. Liked it.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Sheriff of Babylon, number 3, writer Tom King, art by Mitch Gerards.
That was a hell of an issue.
Yeah, you liked this book significantly more than I did, but
oh, I liked it. The American is banging
the
former American Iraqi girl.
Yeah. Chris, in this issue, he's basically questioning all his trainee officers about the death of the guy that they're investigating. Nobody.
Who all just say no.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're afraid, basically. Because, you know, there's a lot of shit going down. The girl, Sophia, apparently, well, we don't know what ended up happening with her.
She might be dead.
She might very well be dead because there was a rock RPG shot right at her
from very close range.
Yeah, this car. I mean, she's obviously talking on the phone, and we see in the background there's this one car that pulls up next to them, and they roll down their windows, and you see them have a rocket launcher.
Yeah, and the thing is, she even looked at the car, but she was on the phone. And then they shot the rocket launcher, and, you know, the car actually looked like it held together pretty well, considering it was hit with a fucking rocket launcher.
At such close range, I know.
Yeah, so she might have lived.
Maybe, I don't know. But I think the best parts of this book were the one with Nasir, the Iraqi.
Yeah, the police. Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah, he basically was met up with some guy. He runs some anti-American faction in Baghdad, and he took him in. He basically blindfolded him, talking about why the hell are you helping out these Americans. It's been it's worse now. Before we had Saddam, now we got 1,000 Saddams. He's bound. We don't know exactly what happens to him because, the final panel, it's there's a gun.
Yeah, he's holding a gun to his head.
Yeah.
But he was talking to him like, you're going to work with us now. But then he ends up holding a gun to his head. And it might be like a swerve. Because he didn't sound like he was going to kill him. And also, that's the most interesting character in the book.
Because remember, he's asking him, well, why were you at that guy's home? It's like, oh, because the fucking cats were eating him.
Yeah. And they did kind of put Chris the American over. Because, like, after he talked to all these guys, he got shitty drunk. And had to go bang, what's her name, Sophia?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got really drunk and had to go bang her because he was so upset over what happened. Like, he was talking. He actually kind of gives a shit.
Yeah,
like
he keeps saying, he's like, look, I'm here to help people. I'm not here to, just.
Yeah, and his problem is he's trying to help these people, but they won't give him anything. He doesn't understand that the reason they're not giving the information is because they're scared, because if they help the Americans, they'll get killed too. He doesn't get that. He just wants to help, and he sees it like they won't. Let me help. Like, they won't even help themselves. And he's getting really upset about it. And he's upset one of the guys under his command died. And the reason they're showing that is because you've got another guy going on about how terrible all the Americans are. So they have to show an American who is not a giant douchebag, because the only other American we have is the Iraqi girl who grew up in America, who is just using all the people for her own benefit, really.
Oh, I'd just like to put over how they got a lot of this stuff accurate. The way with the homes where they got they got those concrete things in front of those trailers and stuff. Those mm-hmm. are for protecting against mortars and stuff.
Oh.
They do have a lot of stuff with the kidnappings and, a lot of this stuff is stuff that I would read about all the time when I was working in ops in the military when I was deployed. Specifically, the stuff about them not wanting to talk, because I remember at one point, we would have these, translators, we bring on, they're Iraqis, they translate for us. There's a few, if you're a really, really good translator, you get to work for somebody like a colonel or something, or a sergeant major. We had this one guy, he was Iraqi, he was one of those guys, and, they wanted to, bring him in, to be one of their top guys because, there was a position open up. And this guy sounded exactly like he was from New York. And he was wrecked. And he wouldn't do it because he was afraid that he's like, oh no, I don't want to get involved because, I don't want, he was afraid somebody was going to kidnap him, kill him. Like, why are you helping the Americans or, get them to spy or something? There's a lot of that stuff going on. This was in 2008 when this happened, so.
Well, remember Tom King was a CIA operative?
Yeah, so I'm sure. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. A lot of his, a lot of his stuff is pretty dead spot on.
Well, I mean, he had a job where he would know.
Yeah.
So.
While I was reading this book, it never occurred. I never questioned that he didn't know what he was talking about. In fact, my one criticism of this book is it seemed a little too inside baseball. I was like, okay, I don't know. I have no reference point for any of all this stuff. I'm sure it's accurate, but I'm like, it's all over my head.
See, that didn't
good.
See, that didn't bother me because a lot of the stuff Marvel's talking about is conveyed through the art. And the core of this book is the characters. And you don't really need any special knowledge. I mean, I suppose you sort of need it to get the characters right. But just in developing the characters and showing how they act, there's nothing inside about that. Like, that all makes sense. Then they explain it. Tom King is seriously my favorite comic writer right now. By a lot. I love everything he does, and I need to he writes other books, and I need to be reading them because I'm sure I'll like them.
What's the other book that he does that we don't Vision. Read? No, that we don't read.
He was writing Grayson, but I don't think he is anymore. He writes Omega Man.
Omega Man, yeah, that's a book we gotta pick up, and they're not too far into the series.
No, but it's getting canceled, I believe.
Oh.
it's good.
Previously about, you know, in news, all these books being canceled. All right,
but that was the DC book.
Yeah, let's keep all the Tom King love going with Vision number 4, obviously writer Tom King, art by Gabriel Hernandez Walta.
Vision is the best superhero comic being published.
No, okay, for those of you who don't subscribe to the, you know, Observer website and don't go on the board, I wrote, and this is exactly how I feel, this book got way too dark for me, and I don't know if I want to keep reading it.
Okay, I don't care about that shit. This is the best comic fucking Marvel is publishing. And everyone should buy this. I don't care how dark it is. You know why it's dark? Because fucking nothing else Marvel does is dark. It's all lighthearted, fucking, we're gonna joke about shit even when it's supposed to be super serious, happy bullshit. I don't wanna read that. I wanna read something different. I wanna read a different take on a character who's been around for 50 fucking years and they've always done the same thing with, oh, I'm a robot, blah, 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 blah. They're finally doing something with it. And this book fucking rules. This is great.
Let's put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of weeks that this winds up joining Black Knight.
This is not going to get canceled because this is loved by the critics.
This will get a trade. For sure.
This will get multiple trades. This is going to keep going for a little bit because, number one, they want to keep Tom King happy because everything he writes is fucking great and he should be writing the goddamn Avengers. He should be writing fucking new and
all new, all different, and Ultimates.
No, not all new, all different.
Have him write Cap.
He should definitely be writing Ultimates, and I like Ultimates, but this guy would be fucking great on it.
Yeah, he'd be good at Captain America, actually.
He should be writing Squadron Supreme.
You want to write everything, don't you?
Yes, I want him to write fucking every book. I want him to write Squirrel Girl. He's great.
I don't know about that, but yeah, definitely, I think me and Marvel are in agreement. He'd be perfect on Cap.
Yeah, well, so... In this issue, the kids go back to school, yeah. Finally, because Viv is better. And everyone's all awkward around them because, you know, Vin almost fucking killed the kid. And they're still robots. Her lab partner, who can no longer be her lab partner because the dad went to the school, he ends up talking to her outside.
It was also because he was the one who was choked out by...
Well, yeah. But there's also more to that story. But he ends up talking to Viv. Like, he's walking from, I don't know what kind of a fucking high school they have where they have, like, 5 different buildings. But
I've been to a high school like that, so you
said. All right, never mind. Well, I haven't. Our high school is one fucking big building, but whatever. That doesn't matter. But anyway, he's walking with her outside, and he's explaining to her, like, listen, I didn't ask my dad to do this. He's like, and your brother, you know, whatever with that, it wasn't as serious as people made it out to be at the school. He's like, but I thought you were cool.
Yeah, and he's all, like, nervous. He's, like, trying to talk to her, like, you know, I enjoy being your lab partner, and, you know.
He's scared.
Yeah, he's scared, but, you know, you could tell he likes her.
Yeah, he actually likes her, though. Like, he wasn't putting on. He was being sincere. And this story, because it has to be creepy, cuts in on this and goes, even though Viv wouldn't be alive for much longer.
God, that's,
She kept this recording, and she would play it back, and she didn't tell anyone else in the family. So this is basically her happiest moment before she dies, because it was a human being talking to her like a human being.
Yes.
And she recorded the conversation and saved it and would play it back to herself to make her happy. But they said she's gonna fucking die, so, then we go to the next major part of the story, which is the mom gets a call on the cell phone that appeared with the video of her killing Grim Reaper, and it tells her where to go, and she goes, and it turns out it is the father of the boy who got choked out.
Yeah, and he basically tells her, look, I'm not going to turn you in. I just want you to leave the neighborhood.
Yeah, that was all he wanted. He thinks they're too dangerous to have around.
Well, he's right.
Yes, he was right. Well, not necessarily. She's too dangerous to have around. Vision and the kids.
Hey, they come out of the package.
Yeah, but
well,
I mean,
the one kid almost choked out the kid to death.
But he didn't.
Okay. But he could have, and he, you know, who's what's stopping him?
That though was the he thought the guy was talking shit about his sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's his sister. He talks shit. If I'm in school and somebody talks shit about my sister, I'm gonna punch him in the mouth.
Oh, what, you're gonna choke him?
Is,
you're gonna
if I'm
you,
not a,
you have this kind of strength that you're gonna hold him up by his throat.
Choking's a bitch move. Got to throw a punch.
But even still,
yes,
how strong they are, are you still going to even throw a punch?
But he's young. He'd only been alive for a few months at that point. He knew his own strength, yeah, but he probably wasn't thinking about it. And they never indicated he intended to kill the kid. He just wanted to shut him up.
Yeah, he even went into detail, like, you know, he knew specifically what he was doing. He was choking him out so he'd pass out. But you never know.
Yeah.
In a fit of rage, he could have just, you know, could have done something more severe because he's still just a kid. He's,
you
know, I'm sure.
Talk about him choking the guy out, please. we get it.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, that's the disagreement. But he explains to her, you got to leave. And, you know, he pointed out to her when she walked in that he had a gun.
Yep.
And she starts moving towards him and he pulls the gun out.
Yep.
And he ends up shooting at her, but.
She phases.
She phased, and the kid had walked downstairs, so he ends up shooting his own son in the head. This causes the guy. Now, I do take issue with the guy's reaction to this, which was, you killed my son! Okay, dude, listen. If you shot someone, the bullet very well, if it didn't hit something hard enough, it could have gone through and hit your goddamn son who was right behind her. You were gonna shoot someone in your house. You shot your son. You killed your son. But he starts screaming, you killed my son. I'm going to show everyone the video. I'm going to tell everyone what you did, blah, blah, blah. And she punches him in the head and slams him up against the wall and kills him.
Yep.
So I believe the last page of the book is the mom standing there over the dead son and the dead dad. Every indication is that it's the mom who's going bad. But the interesting part about this story is, who has she killed so far? She killed
Grim Reaper. Which I've been saying from day one, what's the big deal? He threatened their lives.
Because heroes don't kill in Marvel.
Yeah, but I'm sure if she would have just fessed up from the get-go.
She's also not a hero, dude.
Because if you look at what happened, she killed Grim Reaper because he was in her house. He just stabbed her daughter through the chest and broke her, or killed her, in effect. And she reacted, and she killed him, which is understandable. He just killed her daughter. This guy was going to ruin them, her entire family, so she killed him to protect the family. She did not kill the son. When she phased, she didn't know the son was behind her.
True.
She was just trying to protect herself. Nothing wrong with that. Killing the guy, you could make the argument, yes, there is something wrong with that. He didn't hurt her, and she killed him. But he was going to ruin her family's lives, and she didn't want that.
All they had to do was move. That's it.
Huh?
All they had to do was move.
She didn't want to move. She didn't want to uproot the family because Vision's whole deal is we're going to live here. We're going to be normal people. And she's trying to make it a situation wherein they could be normal people.
So you're going to risk having him go to the media with this? Like, she's well within her rights. But once the media gets a hold of
that,
they're not going to tell that story.
But at that point, she had no choice. Her moving wouldn't have led to anything because he wouldn't accept it after his son died.
Had she fessed up from the beginning, it wouldn't have mattered whether.
Going to the point that if she had just done what he said, none of this would have happened because he wouldn't have shot the gun. Had she not confronted him and gotten his face?
Well, no, he called her. She was upset. That's the thing with this story is she's acting human. She's
oh,
not.
Oh yeah, that's the overarching story in this whole thing. She's acting so human, and that's the thing that Vision's trying to do is to get them to act human, act normal. And yeah,
she, yeah, and he's doing it, and it's just not working out well for her. Well, I mean, she's hiding things from her husband. She's trying to protect her family. That's all she's doing. But it keeps going horribly wrong, and a lot of that is due to the fact that she's a robot.
But she's worried and panicking. She's getting angry. So all that, you know, she's making bad decisions. That's not something a robot would do.
Right. But because she has these powers and she's in a robot, but were she not a robot, she couldn't have killed Grim Reaper. He has superpowers. She wouldn't have been able to kill him.
And she also wouldn't have got,
she wouldn't have been able to phase through a bullet and the kid wouldn't have died.
But had she just been a robot, she wouldn't have got upset over it.
Exactly.
She wouldn't have killed
him. She's not just a robot. Yeah. That's the story.
Yeah.
That's why the story is good.
Yeah. I just don't know.
I feel bad for her.
I feel bad for everybody involved. I feel bad for the kids. I feel bad for Vision.
I feel bad for Viv because she's gonna die.
So is she gonna kill Viv?
I don't know what else to think.
Maybe Viv gets upset because she knows the mom killed the...
Yeah, but the thing is, everything she's done has been to protect her family.
Oh.
So I don't think she's gonna kill her. I think something is gonna happen. Or they didn't actually say Viv died. They said she'd be gone. Maybe Vision finds all... Maybe this is Vision's heel turn. Maybe Vision finds all this out, and his solution is, I'm going to turn my family off.
Maybe.
Which would be a heel turn, because even though she did something bad, she did it for a good reason.
But just the
kids haven't done anything,
just the kid
really.
Dying, the one kid, I think that was a little too far. Maybe if he shot the wife, I'd been like, okay, that's...
Oh, that doesn't matter. It gives the story more gravity, and they didn't show that there was a wife. It had to be the kid because the kid was cool to her daughter earlier in the issue. Thematically, it had to be him who died.
Maybe Viv finds out, and because she liked the kid, she gets mad at the mom. I don't know.
But I still don't think the mom would hurt her daughter. That if she just turns into an evil robot, the story falls apart. It doesn't work anymore.
I know, but you have to keep in mind this is still a Marvel book, so they may go in that obvious direction.
I don't think they will, though, because this doesn't read like your normal Marvel book. They seem to have given him a free hand to tell whatever story he wants to tell.
But then again, I'm also the opinion, how long is this book going to last, too? Because it is a Marvel book. If this was an Image series, I'd be like, you know what, this could go on for quite a while. It's a really good story they're telling.
And it fits with
all the stuff that they're publishing. This doesn't really fit with Marvel publishing. This is really outside of the stuff they're
usually
telling.
Right, you want that. Like, you want that in your line. You don't want everything to fit in. You don't want everything to be same. This entire book is about their inability to fit in. It doesn't have to fit in with the rest of the Marvel universe. It makes more sense if it doesn't.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I would love it if they did that. But I don't see Marvel doing that.
Well, but it's also the story they're telling. How long can it go on anyway?
Yeah, and then also, like...
Yeah, because once you know, all these... The family's gone, I'm like, what's the book then?
It has
a finite amount
Vision,
of...
Vision... It's called Vision, but Vision was barely in this comic. Yeah. And, in fact, none of the issues have really focused on Vision. It's all been about the family.
And especially this issue... There was this incident where, you know, the mom needed Vision to help out, but he was off fighting some giant monster in New York City. So obviously he couldn't be there for the family, and maybe that might be the story, part of the storyline as well.
Yeah, and didn't he say, she said, you know, she's like, I needed help with this. I need someone to be with Viv after what's gone on. And he basically said, well, can't you deal with the family stuff? And she went and she dealt with the family stuff. Just, you know, not in the way he thought. He was fighting fucking jobber villain anyway. Fucking Giganto. Come on.
but even in that, he brought up the point.
But
that
it didn't matter because the reason she went out, she said it was to meet with a headhunter. And then she said she was going to be late because she was having drinks with him. But she was really going to meet with this guy. Lies don't make friends, Fat Man. This book is great. Let's go to the next one, though.
It may be getting too dark. Okay, let's keep things up with, I'm trying to find a transition. Let's go from, from a robot to technology. Let's go to Invincible Iron Man number 6, writer Brian Michael Bendis, art by Mike Diodato.
So, Rhodey, he goes to Japan to investigate stuff for Stark. Well, Stark chats with his doctor lady. He's putting the moons on her. He's got a date, so he just sent Rhodey off to do it.
He banged her.
Yeah. So
good for him.
Stark and his lady friend, they go out to lunch and talk, and guess who shows up?
Wait. They went to breakfast, and that was the funniest joke in the book. Tony says, yes. Like, hey, well, maybe we can go to breakfast. And she goes, are you going to take me to some hole-in-the-wall diner that you decided had the best waffles in it ever, and it's really cute that you go there because you're so rich? Then we go to the next page. Hole-in-the-wall diner with really great waffles that Tony decided is great, and it's cute that he comes here because he's rich. Awesome. Tony's a dick.
Great.
And Dr. Doom shows up.
Yeah, he shows up.
He just wants to be a good guy and make up for all the bad he's done.
But Tony's not completely sold on it. He's like, yeah. At first he was like sort of touch and go, keeping him at arm's length.
He had the Iron Man armor sitting outside the window holding its fucking hands out ready to shoot
him. That was awesome.
He does not trust him at all.
We're looking for future cyber warriors.
Marvel, is that you?
That was spam. Yeah.
Okay.
Marvel's on porn sites.
Yeah.
No, that was at WWE.com. I was looking at a video.
Okay.
Multitasking.
So Stark doesn't trust him, obviously. So Doom tells his doctor lady to begin human trials on that Alzheimer drug that she has. Because remember, she's working on some stuff.
It's the only way.
Yep. So Rhodey, he goes to a villain club place in Japan. This is Japan. He asks Yukio for a tip, which she obliges after getting threatened. So he follows the big guy and his apparent innocent woman friends and threatens them, only to find out that it was the woman who were the ninjas with laser swords. So, you know, actually, another thing about this probably could have been a lightning round book.
Oh, really? Didn't I say, hey, there's probably some books we're missing that we could bump up the lightning round? But you guys are like, no, that's enough.
Well, it was still enough, but yeah, that was pretty much it in the book.
And I like the part where she's like, oh my god, I just had breakfast with Dr. Doom. And then Tony, under his breath, said, an Iron Man. That was a great little scene. I like this book. Like, I don't want to like it because it's Bendis, but, you know, it's Bendis telling a individual superhero story, so it's in fact good.
It's never the best book, but it's always a good book.
This book is missing something for me. And I kind of want to read, because I know he's doing a second Iron Man book.
Yeah, then the second Iron Man book sounds more serious. He's looking for his parents.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like that one more than this, because this one's fun. It's always a fun read. It reads quick. But how many fun Marvel books do I really want to read? I want something with a little more meat.
This is the upper echelon of fun books. I'm fine keeping it. Okay, let's keep things all Bendis. Let's talk Spider-Man number 1. Obviously, Brian Michael Bendis, art by Sarah Pichelle?
Pichelle.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good art.
She was my girlfriend before Fiona Staples was my girlfriend.
Does your wife know about this?
She doesn't need to know. And the art was so good. Miss Pichelle, you can be my girlfriend again. Circle yes or no.
Do you like me?
Or maybe. I don't know. XOXO.
And the thing I noticed in this book is Miles look a lot older.
Genki
looks a lot fatter.
Genki's much fatter.
Because Miles, I think right now is 14.
Maybe he's older in the Marvel, yeah.
No, that's how old he. Well, yeah, maybe. But
he could be 16.
But then again, he looks the same in that he did in the Ultimates in the Ultimate Universe in New Avengers or All New, All Different.
I don't care how old he is.
I think it's just the art.
Whatever. He's trying to get on girls. That's he could be 14. He could be 16. He could be 27. Doesn't matter. That was his focus.
So The book, it opens in the present with Miles fighting Blackheart, who had, I guess, defeated most of the Avengers.
Blackheart looks a little different in the...
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
That's going to get old fast, but yeah.
Hey, he looks creepy, you know. Son of Mephisto, I guess he should look creepy.
Alejo de Mephisto.
Yeah. When they flash back to him in Genki at school, you know, and they show him in his everyday life. Apparently, he's got parent issues. You know, the mom's got issues with him.
Well, because she found out his grades are shit.
Yeah, and his grades are shit because he's always off trying to kick ass.
In fact, in this issue, after talking to his mom, he left to go fight, like right in the middle of class.
Yeah, there was a fire truck speeding up, and he said, I got to go to use the bathroom, and like, he can't use it.
And, does she know?
What's that?
Okay, that's what I figured. I gathered from that.
I don't know if the dad knows.
The dad seemed like he knew, like when he was talking to Miles.
The dad, I thought, well, no, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Because earlier in the issue, they said the only ones who knew are him and Genki.
Yeah, his dad.
No, Miles, like, oh, maybe you're right. Okay.
Yeah, because his dad, the way he talked down to him, like his mom was upset because of his grade slipping. But the way the dad talked to him, he talked to him in a calm tone. He's like, just get your stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah, the dad knows. The dad knew, remember, in the Ultimate
Universe? But you never know.
Yeah, they change stuff. That's
yeah, the mom was also dead before, so you don't know.
I do remember reading in the book that he mentioned that only two people know his identity. It was his dad and Genk.
Okay, yeah, I remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
Space. Also, Bombshell exists again, so.
Yeah.
Bendis, despite no one caring.
They moved her into the 616 universe.
Yeah, hey, Bendis, she wasn't over in Ultimate. She's not going to be over here. Stop crying.
So he goes downtown where all this, you know, the fight's going down, and all the Avengers are, like, taken out. And so it's basically him versus Blackheart, and he uses Captain America's shield. And he uses one of his Venom Blasts, and apparently that defeats Blackheart.
Wow.
Man. Well, he got really hurt and he left and said he'd be back.
No, he did the Dr. Claw. I'll
which,
get you next time.
Miles opined that possibly his Venom Blast worked really well on demon physiology.
And also, at the end of the issue, Peter Parker shows up and he's like, what the hell did you do?
It's wet.
Yeah. Well, because all the Avengers are laying down all hurt and stuff.
Yeah, that was
an odd way to go, you know, end the issue, but still, I like the book. It was good.
No, it wasn't. Because you got Miles and Spider-Man together.
Yeah, but it's a weird way, just that was an odd cliffhanger.
No, because then you're like, ooh, next issue, I get to see both Spider-Men interacting.
Yeah,
it made sense.
Good hook.
Okay, let's move on. Speaking of the other Spider-Men, Amazing Spider-Man number 7, writer Dan Slott, art by Matteo Bafagni.
I still like this, but I don't want him to be in China anymore.
I was talking to you guys off air. I'm starting to this storyline is telling. I'm starting to warm up to it because we're not dealing with the Zodiac anymore.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, well,
you did the shit at the end.
At the end, but most of this book was, you know, the stuff with Mr. Negative and Cloak and Dagger.
I think Scorpio is a better villain than Mr. Negative.
Nah, I like Mr. Negative better.
Mr. Negative
he's not so silly as as Scorpio.
He's trying to kill off some dude, some Chinese humanitarian who apparently has a dark past. He's known for human trafficking in China.
He, in fact, forced Mr. Negative before he was, Mr. Negative, before he was the bad guy to do some bad stuff.
Yep.
So he has a personal stake in it.
Yes, and that's why he's assembled a crew of people to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of Spider-Man's employees, what was her name? Miss Tang?
Yes.
Yeah, she's apparently working for the Zodiac and is going to betray Peter because her mom has cancer and apparently they got a way to cure it or treat it?
Well, they were giving him treatments that were helping, Scorpio was, and he stopped the treatments to get her help against Spider-Man, and she's going to sabotage the Spider-Mobile.
You know, here's the one thing I don't get. Why would she do all that when her boss, who's a humanitarian,
yeah.
he doesn't have access.
He's rich.
Yeah, but it's Scorpio is the one who has it. She doesn't, and he's got his super magic whatever powers now. So perhaps it's something only he can do. And Peter hasn't cured cancer.
Not
if
yet.
If he cured cancer, we would have heard about it.
Give it time.
Yeah, but you can't rush a cure for cancer. It doesn't work like that. Like,
oh, you're an expert now on curing cancer?
Well, I know that you can't be like, oh, man, we weren't going to cure cancer, but we should probably work really hard on that, and then we'll be able to cure. I'm pretty sure if he could cure cancer, he would have done it by now.
He's a busy guy, dude.
In any event, she developed the Spider-Mobile, and so she's going to sabotage it. Now, this issue did do something where I had questioned, why does Spider-Man need a Spider-Mobile? They sort of explained it in this issue.
Yes, they did.
Because he was chasing Cloak and Dagger. He had to go from location to location. And he was talking about how much quicker it would be with the Spider-Mobile. And for some reason, I never considered that while he can swing through the air, he is going at the speed of however fast he swings.
Yes.
A super advanced car that can go up walls and stuff probably would actually be faster than swinging through the city.
No kidding.
Yes, you're correct.
Which I had just never considered because I thought, you know, with traffic and stuff, he could swing over it. He'd probably still be pretty fast. But really, how fast is swinging?
And he's also, you know, exerting strength, whereas when he's in the car, he's just chilling out.
Yeah, so that you know, fair enough, Dan Slott.
Touche. Checkmate.
It was one of those things where, like, I complain about something, and then the writer just happens to explain it.
It's not the best explanation, but at least he'll acknowledge it.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. The spider plane, I understood, but, yeah.
Okay, let's go back to technology, and let's talk. Exo Man of War, number 44, writer Robert Venditti, art by Robert Gill.
I really liked this.
Yes, great issue.
Yeah. Good stuff. All kinds of different storylines going on here.
Yep. We got the people of
the New Vine?
No, the Visigoths? Yeah,
it wasn't them. Okay. That's what I thought too. It wasn't them.
Oh, those
the new Visigoth Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Has a fence around the entire thing.
Okay.
Some people pulled up in pickup trucks and shit and were gonna fucking try to kill all the aliens.
Uh-huh.
And you were thinking that was Exo Manowar's people. It wasn't. They don't dress like that. They dress more old school. And they said later in the issue that was like the people of Kansas.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, so it was the people who lived outside in Nebraska but who lived close were upset with the aliens being there. Okay. And the Armorines are there not to keep peace between the Visigoths and the aliens, but between the people of Nebraska
and Kansas and
the aliens. Yeah.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beginning of the book actually started off pretty good. Freaking Ninjak killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's the parts of the book I like. The parts with Ninjak killing a bunch of people, trying to hunt down that Visigoth.
Yeah, Exo Manowar is chasing one of the vine plantlings. And he uses the plantling, uses science to go walk through a wall into a safe room. But when he walks in, Ninjak is already there with like 5-6 guys dead. And he's like, hey, bro, what's up? And he kills him. Exo Manowar comes in, he's like, you could have let me get him outside. And he's like, no, this works better because now they know that we can find them in their bases and kill them instead of just killing them out on the street. It's more threatening. And he's like, well, how are they even going to know that? There's no one to give the message. He's like, oh, we do it like this. He's like, wave to the camera. Because they had them all equipped with cameras. We cut to Trill, who's really pissed off about all this.
Yeah, like, oh, they're mocking me. They think I'm joking.
Such a tool.
And he, the other problem is the good vine their high priest is dying.
Yes.
Now, they all communicate with mind talk and shit, but his body is dying. He's going to be dead soon. So he's meeting with all of them, and he's pressing for peace and saying, you know, the sacred armor, it found a human slave, and that shows that we could work together with them. This is who God has chosen, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly Trill shows up.
Because he had been in hiding.
Yeah, he'd been in hiding, but he shows up in the little mindscape, and he's talking to him, basically saying, this religion is bullshit. We used to be conquerors. We're going to fucking take over Earth, kill all these bastards. You come with me if you don't win.
He's like, he's not the Trill champion. He's the humans champion. I'm the Trill champion.
So we didn't see how they react to this, but that was his pitch.
Or Vine champion, I should say. They always say Trill because...
Yeah, because his name is Trill and because of the Star Trek.
Nerd.
You get confused. But yeah, so he gave him that pitch. But Neville and the other high up in various Valiant military entities.
Gate. They're like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Gate. So Valiant S.H.I.E.L.D. is is talking to Exo Manowar and Ninjak, and they're like, okay, so we've got this information. And he does ask where this information came from, and apparently there's a high-level Vine plantling who talks to them. And he's like, yeah, we got this place. They're Marvel, did you take down what these things are called?
The dual underground bunkers called Last Resorts.
Yeah, okay, so these are giant underground bases that the Vine set up in case they have to go into hiding. And they're like, well, we know about this one. We're going to make a plan to go into it. Exo Manowar don't give a shit. He fucking jumps out of the plane, puts on his armor, and rams into this thing. I personally think he did this because he's tired of Ninjak showing him up.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do something to show he was better.
He's surrounded by the armed guards that are at the end of the final scene of the issue.
Yeah, which can't hurt him.
We really should have been reading this book a lot longer. We?
Well, Fat Man said he read a storyline before this and it wasn't as good.
But then I tend to be more cynical. Had I read it with you guys, maybe I'd been more inclined to read it. But this is also, we're picking up the story from a good place to start. This is a new arc, so this you is were as in good a time as any.
Were you in the middle of the arc when you read?
No, the one I specifically mentioned, they said it's a new arc, so I gave it a try. It was a bit of a crossover, but a new story arc, and I read it and I personally didn't much care for it, but sometimes I am too cynical. Sometimes I am too, like, you know, I don't like books. But if I read it with you guys and you guys do the review, because you guys will like the book, you guys will win me over.
Well, the other thing is you just read a new story arc. This story arc was actually considered like a new jumping on point of the series.
Yeah, that is a difference. This is a new jumping point.
With the Vine on Earth and with him dealing with Ninjak and having a set goal. Instead of them just doing storylines, it gives the story more focus.
I'm still of the opinion sometimes, had I read this by myself, because there are aspects of this book, especially the parts with the Exo Manowar, I'm like, I don't care, and all the stuff with the Vine, I'm just like, okay. But the part with Ninjak, that was the redeeming part of this book.
I thought overall.
Yeah, I liked all of it. I liked the main plot. I liked the subplot. I'm good with this book. This is a good book.
Okay, let's move on to our next book. I don't really have a transition, but Swamp Thing number 2, writer Lian Wen, art by Kelly Jones.
A fun little book.
He beat the zombie.
Yeah, he met with Shade, and he explained to him how you got to kill a zombie. You got to put a bunch of salt in his mouth and then sew it up.
That's of all the ways to kill a zombie. That's the one I've never heard of.
Oh, and also apparently he's not a zombie because. The experiments it did to him. He's a zombie because his fucking parents brought him back to life.
Yeah, in the previous issue, they talked about, you know, the son volunteered for this weird paranormal department of the school, and they experimented on him because he wanted to volunteer himself. Fact of the matter is, he died a while ago. The parents wanted to bring him back to life.
They explained the reason why he volunteered. It was because he had cancer, and he thought that would fucking help him.
I thought he died already.
But... The reason why he volunteered was because he had cancer.
Oh, okay. I thought that he already died, and they wanted to bring the son back to life, and that's when they brought him to the foreground. Okay.
The parents brought him back to life after he had died.
Oh, okay.
Through zombie shit. And so he defeats him, and he meets up with the Phantom Stranger, who talks in riddles or something. And I don't know who Matt Cable is, but that's who they're...
Matt Cable is Dream's Raven.
Okay, you talk like we know, but you're going to have to explain that to us.
He's Red Sandman.
He's Dream's...
He's Dream's Raven. Matthew Cable was... he worked for the government, and when Holland was working on the Super Soldier Serum or whatever it was when he became Swamp Thing, he was the government agent who was assigned to him. And then in the course of Swamp Thing, he eventually died in the Dreaming. And people who die in the Dreaming, because it doesn't happen often, Morpheus gives them the option to become one of his Ravens. And Matthew was his Raven through the entire run of the series.
Huh, okay.
Matthew Cable. He met his end in one of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing stories, which are amazing. Better than this. They're very different, but you know, it was he actually died in what I think was the best Swamp Thing story ever.
You know, with that said, this wasn't a bad book. I mean,
it's not a bad book. It's just it's very simple and.
This probably could have been Lanny Round also.
Yeah, and it's confusing to me because I don't know the current Swamp Thing continuity. So everything I just said about Matt Cable, that's the old continuity. And I mean, he's obviously not a fucking Raven, so that's different. But he might have been doing something in the last Swamp Thing run. I don't know. But he is a very important character to, you know.
Okay.
To this.
It's okay, Marvel. You can apologize. I'm not going to embarrass you in front of anybody. You can apologize to me off air.
About
wanting to bump this up to Lightning Round.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's talk our next book since we're talking all things mysticism. Doctor Strange number 5, writer Jason Aaron, art by Chris Bacchelio.
Doctor Strange is a heel.
Well, is it really him or is it really Wong?
Didn't he say he set these monks up? Dr. Strange said.
I'd have to read it again. I could have sworn it was Wong.
In this issue, we found out that because, you know, they keep going on about the cost of
magic.
And all we know that Dr. Strange has really suffered is some headaches and he can't eat normal food. Okay. We found out why in this issue. It's because he has a group of about 20 monks who just kind of hang out. And every time Dr. Strange casts a harmful spell, the monks take whatever the cost is.
Exactly. Ugh.
Which to me says Doctor Strange is a fucking heel if he set this up. He could have justification for it in that, I'm the Sorcerer Supreme and blah, blah, blah.
I can confirm that it was Wong because in one of these panels, when he's sick, it's from Wong's perspective. About how he, you know how like Doctor Strange is like, oh, I don't know how I was able to do that spell or whatever. Wong says, you never told him the truth, did you? And then they show the stuff in the Himalayas.
Oh, okay. So Wong is a heel.
Yes.
Damn.
Is this going to end with Wong going away?
No.
Although, you know, it's kind of weird because you remember Wong pre-Secret Wars, he was telling, Doctor Strange, remember when Doctor Strange was like, am I a good man? And he was like, no. Like,
well, he's because he's not.
Well, then again, that was pre whatever. So
yeah,
and in that Strange was the bad guy, but and Wong.
I wonder if this changed. If Secret Wars just changed Doctor Strange with all the stuff with the spells, because this is new, right?
Yeah. I think they're using Secret Wars as an excuse for, especially with certain writers and certain stories. They're like, okay, well, we're gonna write these characters a little bit different, and we'll use Secret Wars as an excuse.
Well, magic is different post-Secret Wars in general. Because this entire magic has a cost thing that they're pushing in Scarlet Witch.
Let's
too.
Put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised. Give it a year or so, I wouldn't be surprised if this whole magic cost thing goes away.
I don't think it will because it's too central to the book.
Maybe. And maybe you're right because I do like it. It is kind of cool.
You know what this created? This created a way to... Remember how
explain why Doctor Strange can't have God powers all the time?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I took it as because Doctor Strange for years since it is mainly Bendis who started using him a little bit more. Doctor Strange is brought in as like a plot device. Like, you know, House of M, in the end, Doctor Strange comes in. He's like, all right, we're going to do some shit now because I do magic. And I'm the only guy who really does magic and who's over it all. And we're going to do magic now. They did this quite a lot. Like, Doctor Strange is like, okay, we'll do something. We'll have Deus Ex Strange come in and fucking solve all our problems here. By doing this and saying it has a cost, Doctor Strange can't do, you know, fucking super magic. He can't destroy planets and shit.
He could have just been like that one magician, just killed rabbits.
Well, yeah, I guess he could have killed some rabbits.
That would have been a lot better than killing monks.
Yeah. Well, they're all taking his Atlantean black magic for him.
Which all involves shooting black shit out of your orifices.
Yeah, they were being attacked by the Empirical, the Empire who was trying to destroy magic, and the spell was able to... It looked like he had won the day, but then...
Well, except a bunch of the wizards are already dead. Yeah. But
at the end of the issue, he's confronted by the Empirical Empire Army and its leader. Mm-hmm.
And really, the only magic he had left was the Eye of Agmato. Because he kept trying all his standard
spells.
Yeah,
nothing worked.
Yeah, nothing worked, but then he's like, eh, fuck it, I'll just use the eye. And that still worked. So hopefully they don't find wherever that came from and destroy it, because then he has no magic and he's fucked.
I will say this, I do like that they're kind of curbing Doctor Strange, because the problem with him with the beginning issues of this, it always seemed like, well, it's sort of like Silver Surfer in the Power Cosmic. It's just like he could just magic his way out of everything. With this, it kind of curbs his power, and you can kind of put him in parallel now.
There's not a lot of magic characters in Marvel. None of them were as powerful as Doctor Strange, but you know they often had more limits. Like Scarlet Witch, she did like a really big spell, although hers was a mutant thing. But still, if she did something really big, like she would get weak. She couldn't keep doing it. That's why she usually just shot off the hex blast. But, I mean, there was something to it. It's Doctor Strange. He could fucking cast spells all day long. He'd be fine.
No longer.
Nope, no more. Now he has a weakness, which is important for characters who have their own books. If you're just guest starring like he was before, where you just pop up, that's fine.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next book, Scarlet Witch, number 3, writer James Robinson, art by Steve Dillon.
So, I like Steve Dillon because of Preacher, but is this fucking book's gimmick we're going to have a different artist in every single issue?
I don't know. I have to look this list.
And you know what I even noticed towards the end? The last couple of pages, even that had a different artist.
It was a different artist, but that was on purpose because it was they were going to the next storyline. And also,
maybe that artist is the artist for the next issue.
I think it is because they went. They went to like a more magical place. They left Ireland. Steve Dillon did Ireland, and then when they went to the more magical place, they completely switched up the art style with a different artist. And I think he'll probably do the next storyline. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, the same heel from before, Declan Dane, the Emerald Warlock. Apparently, there was a bloodline of people from that dates back to 600 AD that did something to him. And he's hunting them all down and killing them. So he has killed tens of thousands of people to achieve this, and he has killed men, women, and even babies to do so.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yep. So apparently it all begins somehow, like for some reason in Ireland. So that's where Scarlet Witch goes to investigate, I guess, some shit going on at some pub. And the guy's like, don't come in here because you're going to fucking destroy it. I know, I see the news.
That was great.
And then one of the guys like, nah, come on, she's an Avenger, it'll be fine. So, you know, he lets her do it. And what happens? Well, you know, the pub is destroyed.
So I knew it was going to happen.
Which wasn't her fault.
No, it wasn't her fault, but, you know, he knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, well.
Poor guy.
He reads comics, he's smart.
So, you know, it's destroyed, but the spirits are gone. So she says that she will not know if it truly worked, if it truly worked a spell until Monday or until morning. But she senses that it's not over. So she creates a spell to bring her to something called the Witch's Road, which she believes will bring her to the source of a witch responsible for what has been happening both in Ireland and around the world. And she meets another Scarlet Witch. I'm not sure what that's about.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I did enjoy this issue. I kind of like the villain.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love Steve Dillon's art because every other page, you'd have Scarlet Witch walking around and there'd be a dude checking her out.
Yeah.
He kept throwing that in the background. I love his art. But I mean, you know, this wasn't a funny issue, really.
But it had that thing that did make it funny.
Yeah, it just had, you know, little jokes from the artist that didn't, you know, the writer didn't necessarily tell him to do that, but he did it anyway. I like her new costume.
Yeah.
Her costume is just, she wears like a black onesie. And then she wears like a big long red jacket over it. I like that because it's not, you know, she's not a mutant anymore. Or she's just a witch now. So would she really need like a spandex superhero costume to be a witch?
Yeah, she's trying to be, what's it called? Constantine.
little bit, except, you know, more boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, more like Constantine. Yeah. I like the new costume. I didn't like the first issue of the series, but I've liked the second and the third.
Yeah.
So I think that just means Robinson is hitting his stride, maybe.
Hopefully.
How well is this book selling? How much?
Probably not great, but I don't think I can look this up fast. If we want to move on to the next one, I can update.
Speaking of books we didn't much care for the first issue, Mirror number one. Art by Emma Rios, art by, let's see if I can pronounce this, Huel Lim.
But we didn't like this for the first issue, and because of it, we won't be reading it.
Indeed.
Not just the art, I actually didn't like the writing. I liked
I thought
premise.
The direction was all over the place. Like, she was telling, like, three different stories, and only one of them I cared for.
Yeah, the problem with the art in this book is it's incredibly stylized. Which sometimes I like, but being that it's stylized, I have to like the style. And it looks like an unfinished coloring book.
Yes.
So occasionally you would see a piece of art in this that I liked, but it would be surrounded by art that I thought looked shit and unfinished.
Yeah,
and
some of it is reminiscent of Dustin Nguyen, like the guy who does Descender, where it's a lot of watercolors.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. But this is not as good as that.
No, not by any stretch. I mean, I like the story of the mouse kid talking to the bear and he has to go on this adventure, but everything else, I'm just like, I don't care.
Quick update. Scarlet Witch number one sold 58,000 copies.
What about number two?
That may not be on there.
I only have December, but if number two drops in half, it's still selling better than a lot of Marvel books. So,
okay.
It's gonna be okay.
I would apologize for cutting in the middle of the review, but really, I don't have a whole lot more to say about this book.
Well, here's the premise of the book. It's a magical land they refer to as the Izar Colony, and a human noble who's attempting to create intelligent human-animal hybrids, and he hopes to capture something. It's not clear what it is from ancient animal guardians. And this plot is kind of like unspooled bit by bit over the issue, and I'm not even really sure if I have it all correctly, but the world is, you know, the story of the world is introduced for the story of Ivan and Senna, who's Ivan is a magician boy in training, and Senna is his girl/dog friend. Which they were forcibly separated. So he grows to become a master mage while never forgetting the friendship he had with Senna. So he extends some sort of like kindness to Zune, who's like his mouse girl, while refusing to bow to the wishes of some guy named Kazbik. And they both butt heads over the treatment of animals, because I guess he wants to use the animals for more nefarious things. So he struggles to take care of you know, the bear who's like decrepit and
dying,
his cat, his grumpy Sphinx cat. I'm not exactly sure where the hell all this is going. I'm never going to read it again, so I don't
care. Yeah, neither am I. I'm glad we gave it a try because I always like reading Image number ones, but with that said, I don't want to read this again.
Yeah, did not like this.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book, A-Force number 2, writer G. Willow Wilson, art by George Molina.
I think they're going to change Singularity's name.
Good.
Because they made fun of it in this book. Not only did they make fun of it, they all made fun of it, even Medusa.
Good.
When they asked what her name was.
It's a stupid name. I don't know what the character is. I don't know why it looks like Captain Universe.
We completed the team in this book, sort of. They're not a team yet, but all the players are together.
Yeah, Singularity wants to put these, you know, all these members together because she remembers all the stuff on Battleworld, you know, Arcadia. She's like, oh, these were all my friends. They were all a team. Let's see if I could talk to them and put together them as a team. Even though I know they're not the same, maybe if I put them together, they'll figure it out and they'll make a good team.
In this issue, she came to the realization that they're not the same. They're in some ways they're similar, but these aren't the people I know. These aren't my friends. And the saddest part in the book was when she walks up to Medusa and she's thinking about how like, oh, but she was my friend. And Medusa immediately puts on painful wrist restraints so that she can't move. I felt so bad for the little blue girl. But she decides that, you know, they're fighting this thing and Singularity is the only one who can hurt it. Smacking around She-Hulk. Smacking around Medusa. She's like, no, we need more help. I know who can help. And she teleports them to Japan.
Yeah, they say, we need someone who can attack. You know, what's the opposite of attacking? And then they obviously go to Nico in Japan.
Yeah, because Nico can do magic.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to Nico, and Nico has been invited to her sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And her family has pretty much disowned her because of all the superhero stuff.
And for good reasons.
Yes, Nico is not happy to see Avengers there because her sister's immediately like, what the fuck is this blue thing that just crashed my wedding?
They didn't immediately go to Nico, but the second when they saw all these superpower people show up, they're like, Nico, what are your friends doing here?
Yeah, and then she's like, I don't even know them. Like, I don't know who they are. And then Singularity runs up to her and she's like, Nico, and gives her a hug. And she's like, why do the people you don't know who they are giving you a hug? And so that was kind of a funny moment. And she pulls them outside. They're talking outside trying to explain what's going on. And they make it very clear these characters don't know each other.
Correct.
Well,
they know of each other, but they're not friends. And they're especially not a team.
Yeah, made fun of the Runaways in this. Where she was like, what was that? What did you even call yourselves, all you and your friends who ran away from your evil parents? And she goes, the Runaways. And she looks like, oh, that's a little on the nose, isn't it? So that was good. But meanwhile, in the background, you know, the sister's all mad. And then suddenly the bad guy, the big orange guy, he slams down in, destroys the wedding, blows everything up, and they have to fight it. Nico uses a spell to she basically teleported him away.
Yeah, because he realized he was ruining the wedding. The sister was getting mad. So you jerk that ruined my wedding.
She had to get rid of him. But she said, you know, I don't think that totally got rid of him. He's going to come back. They were talking to Captain Marvel, who's, you know, communicating with him. And she's like, you need to – we've got an idea. I got a doctor here, a scientist. You have to find someone who can expose it to large amounts of light particles. This Fat Man is the part that pissed me off.
Really? Because I was about to say, up until this point, I wasn't sold the book. I didn't want to read it anymore.
No. I'm not trashing the book. I'm trashing one very specific thing.
Okay.
We need someone who can make a large amount of light particles.
And they didn't know?
Captain Marvel works on Alpha Flight. In Captain Marvel this month, she has teamed up with Alpha Flight, where fucking Aurora is a member, and one of Aurora's powers is she can make really fucking bright light.
Oh, okay, that's what you're getting at.
It is an almost entirely useless power. Captain Marvel is on a fucking team with her, and you were unaware of where they could find a person who could. That pissed me off, only because it was in the same fucking month, but they go to get Dazzler, and Dazzler is now working in a roller derby.
Yeah! Okay, now, this is the part where I wasn't going to pick up this book, read it again. I was going to drop it with Marvel, and they made Dazzler a roller derby chick. And I was like, okay, you got me.
Dazzler is a completely different character from what she used to be. I suppose this is more in line with what she was in the X-Men run we weren't reading, because she looks kind of punk, but now she's doing roller derby. However, they found her, so the team is official. They're not officially a team, but they're officially all together. And since Dazzler's power is she turns sound into light, she starts shooting all the light out. So presumably she is going to be able to stop this thing. And in issue 3, we will probably get the team together. I'm judging this because All New Avengers 3 is when the team formed.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to take 3 issues. I liked this again. Marvel dropped it after 1 issue. Fat Man seemed to like this issue more.
I hated most of the issue. I just thought it was whatever. When they had Dazzler as the roller derby chick, I'm like, okay, I'll give this maybe another issue, because that's wacky enough. That's thinking out there that I may be willing to give this book another try.
This book is 2 issues in, and she has given all the characters an individual identity. She has written them all how they should be written, but still given them personality. When this is a team, everyone is going to have a very clear gimmick on this team. Medusa is a queen, so Medusa is going to want to be in charge. Nico is kind of young and is upset that nobody's giving her respect, and she's worried about what her family will think. Singularity is just the little happy one who's out of place.
She'll be the really heart of the group, yeah.
She wants everyone to be friends. She wants everyone to get along and be happy the way she remembers. Dazzler is going to be the kind of rebellious bitch. They all have a gimmick, and they're all different from each other, which is why they shouldn't work as a team, but they probably will.
I'm not entirely sold on this book, but I will give it another try.
Oh, by the way, there's an all-new Wasp that is going to be joining all different Avengers. It's not Janet Van Dyne, apparently.
Really?
Is it the one who's going to be – isn't somebody else going to be Wasp in the movie?
Well, there was already – well, she was in Ant-Man, Hope Van Dyne. But the thing is, Hope Van Dyne is the Wasp and Ant-Man's daughter in the future in Marvel Universe 2 or whatever, that MC2. That was Hope Van Dyne, which is the name of the one in the movie, but I don't know if this is going to be somebody different or not.
Oh,
and apparently in the cover of the book has Vision to it looking nefarious. So remember how I told you he was going to be?
Oh, God damn it. Did we ever get – but – no, because it's Van Dyne. It's not – well, if she's somehow related to Hank Pym.
I don't know.
Then it would make sense, because Hank Pym made Vision.
That's odd, though, because we still have the regular Wasp, because I think the cover of the next...
She hasn't come back yet, I don't think.
But she teams up with Wolverine the next issue.
Oh, she was in...
Wolverine? Remember she shows up at the end?
The new Wasp?
No, the original Wasp.
The original? Isn't she still stuck in, like, the sub-microverse?
Oh, no. That happened. She got out of that a long time ago.
Oh, did they fix that?
Yeah, remember when Hank went away for a while, and they just assumed he was dead, she was handling all of his affairs in Ant-Man?
No, I don't remember any of this.
No, okay. Well, you know.
I remember she was in that microverse, but remember they rescued her.
Oh, she was in, she had a worthless role in, Uncanny Avengers, didn't she?
Yeah, remember she had a kid with Havoc?
The remainder run.
Yeah. She was.
Yeah. Sorry, that run was so shit. I completely forgot about it until just now.
But she's in the book that you turned me on, Wolverine. She was on the cover of the next book. They teased her at the end.
Well, I don't look at the covers of the next month.
Yeah, but they showed her at the end of the last issue.
He doesn't read. He pretends.
I don't actually read the books.
Lural, has gone on the record for doing a lot of drugs.
It's a. It's been so long since I've done any drugs. I only ever smoked weed. Jesus, it's legal.
He does bong hits and blows them in Jack's face.
I was accused of that on the board. That guy got banned or quit. Fuck him.
That was pretty funny, though. And that's a reoccurring gimmick that I told her.
That was actually really funny on the board, because, like, people who didn't like me defended me. Which is really good. Like, that guy, they're like, dude, seriously, his kid. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he did get shit on it for.
Yeah.
All right, since we talk Uncanny Avengers, let's talk Uncanny Avengers number 5. Writer Jerry Duggan, art by Carlos Pacheco.
It wasn't Gambit.
Nope.
No, it wasn't Gambit. And which kind of made sense because it, you know, it didn't really read like Gambit at all.
No, no. It was uncharacteristic.
It was Red Skull.
Yeah. Because, you know, they've been after him and, there was something in that vault that Red Skull had. I'm not sure what it was. I don't think they actually ever went into what it was.
Well, there was a bunch of gold in it.
Well, besides, the gold was besides the point. There was a fierce black box that was the important thing. But he was like, hey, while we're here, we got all this gold.
Yeah. But, which makes sense.
Yeah, so, he was pretending to be Gambit, you know, and, he's able to telepathically project to them that he looked like Gambit.
Yeah, because he still has Xavier's brain.
And also that there was nothing in the safe. But there was. They just nobody saw it. It was Rogue and was it Human Torch and
Well, Deadpool was there, but you know, not there, if that makes any sense.
So but yeah, they have a little moment with Rogue and Gambit, but you know, Gambit, which is Red Skull. It's like, nah, I don't want to catch your mutant cancer shit. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, that was so. It was so clear that he wasn't Gambit at that point, and I can't believe she didn't catch that. Like, I'm not gonna kiss you because you have mutant cancer. Like, really?
Well, she seemed to be cool with it. So
can she that anymore?
No, she didn't seem like she was cool with it. No, it wasn't that. It was, he was saying the Terrigen Mist thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's been infected with that, and he didn't want to catch that.
No, but I mean, I wonder if now, can she, because remember at the end of Remender's thing, she couldn't touch people again?
Yeah, but like I'm saying, it wasn't that. It was the fact that she'd been infected with
But I'm just saying, like, she was trying to do that, and.
Well, I don't know.
I'm like, did her.
No, she could touch people again, dude.
And I'm Wonder sure Man doesn't live in her anymore?
No, she still does, because she had the strength to rip off the vault from the.
No, she already had super strength.
She. What?
Yep.
We don't.
We talked about this before. Her superpowers are sort of undefined.
See, I sort of explained that away by saying she still has Wonder Man in her.
No.
Well, we know that. I mean,
she had the superpowers before that.
But remember before that, there was those issues where like she didn't have powers like that. But there was like an issue of like the X-Men with all the females were like, wait a minute, how the hell did she get this power all of a sudden?
Well, it could have been further down the timeline when she already had the Wonder Man.
Nobody knows
power.
What the hell her powers are at any given point. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fix this, Marvel.
Do you want me to read this?
What?
Uncanny Avengers?
Okay. Following the conclusion of Messiah Complex, all the memories and abilities Rogue had absorbed were gone. It also cured her of the Strain 88 virus. Rogue's touch now simply steals the memories and abilities of individuals with whom she comes in direct skin-to-skin contact with. The longer the contact, the longer she retains the information. So at that point, she could control her powers. So if she wanted to hurt someone by touching them, she could. But if she didn't want to hurt them, she couldn't. So that's what happened with that. Then it says, after the events of X-Men Legacy, Rogue appears to be able to activate her powers at will. That's the thing about the kiss thing.
She's from the South, y'all.
Okay, then they change the powers again. Okay. Rogue's powers
this is thrilling radio, by the way.
She has, however, retained Wonder Man's psyche and powers.
When was this explained?
When she absorbed him.
Uncanny Avengers.
But back then, she couldn't, at the end of Uncanny Avengers, she couldn't control her powers anymore.
It says Rogue currently possesses Wonder Man's essence. They just haven't dealt with it. I don't know if this is still, because it does say volume and issue needed on Wikipedia.
Yeah, because that means somebody just...
It hasn't been dealt with.
Yeah. We don't know if he's still...
He could still be in there.
Yeah.
Lewd.
Fix this!
Just tell us what her powers are.
But let's just move on. Captain America, Sam Wilson, writer Nick Spencer, art by Joe Bennett.
At the end of this issue, he was no longer a werewolf.
Thank God.
And the new Falcon is the new Falcon.
And the cartoonishly evil supervillains were supported by cartoonishly evil business analysts.
Yes.
On cartoonishly, well, on Fox News, Marvel Fox News. I assume that's what that was. Although I did find it odd. Apparently them fighting in the streets and winning would cause their stock to go up.
Yes.
However, losing a fight would cause their stock to go down. I'm not sure how a business that has only a consulting firm that has only been in business for a few months is a public company that has stock. I'm pretty sure Nick Spencer doesn't understand how business or the stock market works. Well,
they also, the Whisperer, the guy who's like in the inside, apparently because he has the goods on all of them. The rest of the companies, they all agree to absorb one individual company to save the economy. Because apparently there are so many criminals, but they're like, I can't take them all down because it'll ruin the economy.
Yeah, they made the argument that if you arrest all of us, it'll ruin the economy. So Cap Sam Wilson had to think about this, and he's like, damn it, they're right. Everybody will lose health insurance. They'll all be unemployed. I can't do this. He's like, all right, the head guy's arrested, but the rest of you are going to take care of everything so everybody keeps their jobs. Yes. So really, he only had a moral victory.
And here's my question. Wasn't this supposedly going down all the in the middle of the night?
No, because when he was fighting, it was the day.
Yeah, but I seem to remember the last issue was a night.
I don't recall, to be honest.
No, in the last issue, that's when Falcon saved him. It was in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, he's right. He's right. It was in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it could have been in the beginning of the issue. It was at nighttime and then the second part of
the
issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This issue may have been the day, but I seem to remember the last issue they were fighting at night.
No, they weren't fighting at night.
Misty Knight is starting to get over with me.
I wonder why.
Because all she does is rip on Cap. And I really enjoy that. Like, all she wants to do is make fun of Cap. It's her only goal. And I really like that because I like ripping on Cap.
And I like the way Joe Bennett draws her.
She has a ridiculous costume.
I don't care.
There's no way that would work in any sort of realistic context. She has a piece of thing covering her tits, but it's completely open on this side. There's no room for tape or anything. That would not work, especially since her power is like does she even have superpowers?
I don't think so.
She's a cyborg, ain't she?
She does. She has robot parts. But I mean, all she does is run around punching. She couldn't, like, if she shot laser beams or something, I might get this, but. She doesn't. They beat Serpent Solutions. And then at the end, the new Falcon put on a new Falcon costume and he stole Red Wing.
Poor Sam, now he has nothing when Steve comes back.
Yeah, when Steve comes back, he doesn't even have Red Wing. He doesn't even have an identity. Are there going to be two Falcons that don't have their own comics?
He's still going to be Captain America and he's still going to have the original shield, so he's got that going for him.
For a little bit.
You think it's just a matter of time before he has to give that up too?
Steve Rogers is taking over. There's not going to be Captain America book that sells 50,000 copies and Captain America book that sells 20. It ain't happening. He can go hang out with fucking other jobber versions of superheroes. He can make a team with Nomad, War Machine.
Nomad.
Nomad is dead.
Well, He was kind of, he's jobber Captain America. Fucking Thunderstrike.
U.S. Agent.
Firestorm.
He's alive.
No, the Firestorm.
Oh, Firestorm, right? Oh.
Herald of Galactus.
Never mind, I was thinking of...
The one who got beat by Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hang out with them.
I was thinking Firestar for a second.
Firestar is hot.
Alright, next book.
Speaking of Galactus, let's round out this week's books with Howard the Duck, number 4, writer Chip Zdarsky, art by Joe Quinnis.
Best comedy book.
takes Howard, because he's the
Nexus of all realities.
Yeah, he's the Nexus. There's a woman who claims to be Galactus's herald who confronts the collector, but really she's just a Galactus fangirl, apparently.
Yeah.
But how did she get her powers? She just stumbled upon them by accident?
She lived in the building with Alicia. The one who was banging Silver Surfer, and then she's possibly banging Thing. Silver Surfer, as a present, gave her a little piece of the Power Cosmic.
I bet she
made it to like a little statue. She stole that. She stole it from a blind woman.
Yeah. To try to become Galactus's herald.
Yes, her name's Scout.
Yeah, because she thought she could cure him. She could find a way to cure him of his hunger, his eating worlds.
Ultimates already did it, so.
Well, this clearly takes place before Ultimates.
Yes. Because Howard is the nexus of all reality, she says, well, I can go to dimensions and have planets with no, you know, intelligent life, and Galactus can eat those planets.
And the humor of this book came from the fact that Howard is over this cosmic shit.
So you guys are just talking to me like I'm a thing, like I'm a piece of meat.
Yeah, he's so tired of being taken to outer space, having all these people. And in this issue, you know, one herald shows up, the collector shows up, Galactus shows up.
Surfer.
Then Silver Surfer shows up. And
Guardians.
They explained away why Dawn wasn't there.
Yeah.
But Howard is just upset with this shit, and he cut a promo on Galactus.
Yeah, and then Surfer gave him a piece of the Power Cosmic, so he became the Silver Duck.
The Silver Duck.
Nice.
Also, this book had two titles. The first one was Foul Movement.
Yeah.
Which he decided was not appropriate.
What was the other one?
I don't remember. It was funny, too, though. Also, they did do something in this issue where Howard was giving a little speech, and then he said, you know, that's what Bev always told me. And his new girl, Tara, she's like, wait, who's Bev? And they didn't follow it up. But that's Howard's girlfriend from back in the day that she just hasn't really been mentioned a lot in the new Howard the Duck book. Okay. So eventually we're going to find out what happened to her.
Yeah, the other title was Duck Duck Loose.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's good.
My favorite part of this book, when they were all fighting over Howard, Howard just, you know, completely flips out. He's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. And Galactus, he's talking to Galactus, obviously, at this point. He's like, you know what? I'll fight you. And then Galactus just looks at him.
Well, because what's he going to do?
It looks like he's going to fight the collector at next issue, because he's all silvered up, and the collector took him.
Yeah, and there's two collectors. There's the collector from the past, and then the present collector. They wear different clothes, and they have different hair. So there's two collectors. He's going to fight the new collector.
Yippee.
This is a funny book.
Yes.
This is the only funny book that I like.
That's not true, because you like Code Prue.
But that still has some serious stuff in it. This is the only pure comedy book from Marvel.
Wait, what serious stuff does Code
Prue? What serious stuff was in Code Prue?
Well, at the top, it's going to lead somewhere.
It's played for laughs.
What's that?
Even the monster is played up for laughs.
Yeah, but it's going to go somewhere quasi-serious, I bet. Oh, and then, but the point I was trying to make, this is the only one from Marvel that I like.
Ant-Man? You like Ant-Man.
That's true. Okay. I stand corrected.
Stop while you're ahead.
Yes, I stand correct. All right, let's move on to our next...
Don't make these statements.
Yes, okay. Let's move on to our next segment. The not lightning round. Book of the week.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
The greatest feeling of all time I had all my life.
Guys,
Vision.
Pick? Vision.
I'm going to go with Kopru.
God, Vision's so much better and everything.
Kopru didn't have a kid dying, so.
And the thing is, I liked all the books this week. Well, not all of them. I didn't like
There's still plenty of losers in there, so.
I liked a lot of the books this week, but fuck, Vision is so much better and everything else.
Hey, maybe if you didn't have a kid dying, I'd be cool with liking
it. I don't understand how a story element is.
There's a line, Lural.
Oh, I got something for you to read next.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, next and final segment, next week's books.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you.
Okay, what's this book that you'd say I'll like?
Well, you were going to read Zombie Tramp before, and you didn't?
Yeah.
Well, they've got the Zombie Tramp VD Special.
Is that what they're calling it, VD Special?
Yes, it's short for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it stands for.
Yeah.
Well, a book called Zombie Tramp. I'll try
Tramp
to read it.
Zombie Tramp VD Special number one.
I will do my best to read it.
I want a review of that book. And I don't want to read it.
Okay.
So.
I will do my best to try to read it. Hopefully,
but
we have a light book, light
that,
week. Speaking of books, I'll be reading that you guys read Batman next week. Batman number 49. I'll be reading that as well. If I read it in time, I'll do a lightning round review of it.
Specifically, reading that.
Hmm.
Is there any specific reason you're reading that?
Because it's Batman. And how could you not read it?
Okay. Well, we've got a new Romancer number 3.
Huzzah!
Of 12.
Was it always 12?
Slash and Burn number 4. With more creepy fire sex stuff. Yeah, it was always 12 issues.
Was it Slash and Burn the book we don't like, or is it Black Magic the one we're kind of souring
Black
on?
Black Magic.
Mm-hmm. Black Magic, but they are similar because they both have female leads. Except Black Magic is more about magic, and this is about...
Pyromania.
Fire.
Fire.
Fire people. There might be magic. I don't know. Okay. Continuing to go down. It's hard because every time there's a number one, I have to click it.
Ooh, another book I'll be reading. I don't know if I'll do a review. Manhattan Projects.
Okay. Image. Descender, number 10.
Yep. Injection?
Injection, number 7. Wait, let me look at Injection to see if our new favorite character. Detective and sandwich enthusiast.
Yeah!
Investigates.
Woo!
Yep. Yep. Sandwich enthusiast. That's great. Okay.
We're down to Marvel.
All
now.
New, all different Avengers, number 5. All new Hawkeye, number 4. All new Wolverine, number 5, apparently co-starring Wasp.
You fool.
All new X-Men, number 4. I'm not reading Black Knight. Book's been canceled.
Marvel, you going to read Black Knight? I don't want to read it.
I'll read it. I'll do it. Like, it's ending in 2 more issues, so who gives a fuck?
Then don't read it.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
He likes the character. Darth Vader, 16.
Darth Vader. Darth Vader.
I will be reading Illuminati, number 4.
I'll read that with you.
It's going to get canceled soon.
Yeah, but that's good.
Because it's good. So,
burn.
It's different. Miss Marvel, number 4.
Speaking of good books.
I am not reading New Avengers. Or actually, I'm going to read New Avengers, but we're not talking about it on the show.
I'm not reading it. Let me know.
I told you, I'll keep reading it.
So yeah, let's know if it gets good.
Old Man Logan.
Ooh. Speaking of good books again.
Did we drop Red Wolf?
Yes.
Remember, because we thought it was going to be stuff in Timely, and it's in modern day 616, and I want to read that.
Spider-Gwen.
Okay.
Spider-Man 2099. Totally Awesome Hulk.
Great name.
Ultimates.
Hooray!
And
my
Dr.
favorite
Mirage,
Marvel.
Second Lives.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Dr. Mirage, Second Lives. Which is over in an issue.
Yep, 304.
And Ninjak number 12.
Ninja K. All right, let's see.
Not a big
Ninja K number.
If I discount, let's see. I'm just going to count all the books that I have written down here.
So you got books that we're not going to read.
Yeah, some of the books that only you're reading, some books that only I'm reading.
Isn't there just one book only I'm reading?
Yeah, but the most of them I counted, it's 20, but there's stuff that only I'm reading. I didn't count Batman, I didn't count Manhattan Projects, but I did count Zombie Tramp.
I think it might be like 15 books for me.
Yeah, you're the only one reading Zombie Tramp.
Yeah, you're reading, I don't know what you're reading exclusively, but Marvel's exclusively reading Black Knight. So all in all, for each of us, it's going to come down to maybe 15, 16 books.
Yeah.
For me, it'll probably wind up being 20 because I'm going to read Batman and Manhattan Projects.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.